even their last service, they just sat there, never really was aggressive or expressive to worship God. And you don't have to spin like a top on your head. You don't have to run the aisle. But you better be one that knows how to crown the Lord. Every time you get a chance, be that one that goes out of your way for the Master. Have you rolled the red carpet out for Jesus tonight? Have you blessed the Lord yet? Are you waiting? You say, well, I don't feel the Holy Ghost. Well, even the Holy Ghost and worship should never, 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 somebody say it with me, never be predicated on how you feel, what you feel. Amen. But it ought to be upon your opportunity to crown the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. Amen. Praise God. It feels good to feel God tonight. Thank you, Sister Kristen, for a beautiful song. Amen. The word of the Lord is so wonderful tonight. If you want to get your Bible, turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. So good to have you with us tonight. Mr. Roy, I wonder who won today at that chess game. Did you win? Or yesterday? It was yesterday. Amen. Bible study. And amen. Brother Zach gets to teach him, and they have a little session after, play some chess. I'm so thankful what God's going to be doing. Amen. Mr. Roy, he's been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. In Oklahoma, but we believe the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost right here on Durst. Amen. Good to have Roger and Denise with us, my brother and my sister. Amen. And praise God. It's just a joy to be able to visit with them yesterday evening. Amen. And we're glad that you're in the house of the Lord, every one of you. Amen. Praise God. Acts, the second chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Amen. We've about quoted, but it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, how? With one accord, and where? Amen. And we get one accord. Amen. We get a lot of times in one place, but we're not in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. See, they were sitting, and they had to move with the Holy Ghost, but they were in one mind and one accord. Amen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? The Spirit gave them utterance. Tonight, I just want to talk to us about, amen, some evidence, some experience, and purpose. And we're going to talk and address some things about speaking with other tongues. And you may be seated tonight. Acts 2:38, you could quote it, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for thee. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And I want to talk to us tonight. There's some things that, misconceptions, misunderstanding that many people have about receiving the Holy Ghost, about speaking with other tongues. There's people that believe that you will speak in other tongues or have to speak in other tongues. Well, we want to know what the Bible says, not what I say, not what man says. The book matters. Come on, if I could teach you anything, I want you to understand that the Bible matters. And, you know, God has always given visible signs to reveal invisible works. He's always done invisible signs to do a visible sign to do an invisible work. First of all, the rainbow was an outward sign of God's covenant with Noah. Circumcision was an outward sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Water baptism is an outward act of an inward obedience and faith. And that's the reason why you must be baptized. Somebody say amen. And speak with other tongues is an outward evidence of the Spirit's arrival in your life. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance or the abilities. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, the Holy Ghost is not tongues. But tongues is the evidence that the Holy Ghost has come. And it's very important tonight. I'm going to ask a question. Is speaking with tongues the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost? And I hope to answer this. Is speaking with tongues the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost? Pastor, we all know this. This is old to us. But friend, we better reassure some fence wires on the fence post, don't we? Do you know there are a lot of people that build fences and these ranchers? Ever so often, they have to go ride the fence to make sure that the fence is tight and the fence is right. And many times, as people of God, we got to come back to the basics. Amen. You got to come back to the basics of the word of the Lord. But you look at the pattern of Pentecost. Look at the evidence. Look at what happened there at that experience. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, how ironic, the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues, languages that was other than they grew up speaking. They didn't learn this suddenly. They didn't even know what they were saying. Amen. But notice the order. They were all filled. They spoke. And if they all filled, they all spoke with other tongues. The question is not, can God move on somebody before tongues? The question is, what biblical evidence was given when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? You look at it, everybody say they all were filled. They all spake with other tongues. And you go to the patterns of the Holy Ghost fallen, Acts the 10th chapter. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. I could quote it, but I prefer somebody to read it for me. Amen. You know, we do this sometimes in the jail. I'll get a reader, and I want people to read it. Amen. I want you to turn to your Bible. Acts 10, 44 through 46. We'll put it up there in just a moment. Amen. But Brother Pirtle, Brian Pirtle, would you read Acts 10, 44, 45, and 46 for me? Go ahead, brother. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on who? Go ahead. All them which heard the word. Everybody say all them. Which heard the word. Go ahead. That's the Jewish people which believed. They were astonished because they looked and they seen these Gentiles. And on the Gentiles was poured out the Holy Ghost. They all heard and they all received the Holy Ghost. How did they know they had the Holy Ghost? 46. For they heard them speak with what? And magnify God. Go ahead and just read the next one. 48. As received the Holy Ghost as well as we, just like we did. He said, can we forbid them water? And what happened in 48? And he commanded them. Amen. I want you to get it in your claw tonight. Amen. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. It was commanded. It's very plain. And they all received the Holy Ghost. They spake with tongues. Thank you, Brother Pirtle. How did they know they had it? Well, they all heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It did not say we know because they cried. We know they had the Holy Ghost because they believed. We know that they received the Holy Ghost because they were sincere. The identifiable evidence was they spake with other tongues. Faith was in their heart, but tongues was the evidence that God's promise had entered in. Let's ask the second question and try to answer it tonight. Is speaking in tongues essential to salvation? Right here, there are Pentecostals that have received the Holy Ghost that do not believe you had to speak with other tongues. There are people that used to believe it. There is a prominent man who has preached Camp Meet Revivals General Conferences. I mean, this man, if I called his name, I was saddened to find out that this man in his old age, in the middle of a service, he said, those that want to be saved, I want you to come up here and accept Christ as your personal Savior. Repeat this prayer after me. And I've heard this man preach Camp Meeting, the anointing of the Holy Ghost all over him. And something happened in his old age. Amen. He didn't believe people had to receive the Holy Ghost anymore. Amen. You look at what the word of the Lord says here. Amen. This question must be answered very carefully. You know, speaking in tongues itself is not what saves. I want to just clarify that tonight. That's not what saves. Amen. Speaking in tongues is not what saves. We're saved by the grace of God. That's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 2 and 8. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 9. And 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8 says we're saved by the obedience to the gospel. And I want you to catch this. Tongues is not the Savior. Jesus is. But the better question is receiving the Holy Ghost essential? Jesus said, John 3, 5, except a man be born of the water and of the, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what Paul said that goes right with this in Romans 8, 9? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So therefore, is tongues what saves me? No. Is the Holy Ghost part of the new birth? Yes. And the next question, what biblical sign accomplished receiving the Holy Ghost? Speaking in other tongues. I want you to catch this. Tongues do not produce the Holy Ghost, but tongues reveal the Holy Ghost has been received. It's the initial evidence that the Spirit of the Lord is coming in. A heartbeat doesn't create life. It reveals life. The heartbeat does not make a baby alive. It is evident that life is present in that baby. Amen. Hear me today. Amen. Is receiving the Holy Ghost, next question, a separate experience from believing and baptism? Well, always say this. Let's look at evidence. The book of Acts gives clear precedent. In a court of law, you got to have precedent. You got to have evidence, and you got to have law. Example one, the disciples before Pentecost believed. They had believed. They believed that Jesus was Lord. They followed him. They repented. They worshiped him. They saw him resurrected. Yet Jesus said this in Luke 24, 49. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He said, you don't have their power yet. You need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. He said, go, tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem. They were believers, but there was more. Look at your neighbor and said, there's more. And let me give you a second example. Samaria, Acts the 8th chapter. Verse 12, the Bible says, they believed Philip. When Philip preached the word of the Lord and he preached Jesus to them, they believed Philip's preaching. In fact, when they heard, they believed, read it in Acts 8, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. And they had great joy. That's Acts 8, 8. Acts 8, 8, I quoted. And there was great joy in that city. But they still have not received the Holy Ghost yet. Because 8, 15 through 16, Peter and John came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Listen what it says. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hand on them. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell. Hear me. They were baptized, they believe, but they have not received the Holy Ghost. I want you to catch it today. Faith and baptism had occurred, but receiving the Spirit was still distinct. Example number three, Ephesus. Paul, Acts 19, verse 2. Disciples of John the Baptist, he asked and popped the question to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They had believed. They believed what John the Baptist preached about Jesus. Paul said, have you received? If every believer automatically received the Holy Ghost at the moment of belief, the question would have made no sense. They believed. And the Bible says they were baptized in Jesus' name. Paul laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost, and guess what happened? He laid his hands on them, and they spoke with tongues. Amen. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. Go ahead and give me verse 6, brother. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will speak with tongues. Amen. So today, can somebody have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues? There's too much evidence against it. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. Next question, what is the difference between speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues that you find in Corinthians? This answers a common misunderstanding. There are people in churches today that love to pull out scriptures and say, you know, 1 Corinthians 12:30 says, do all speak in tongues? They'll say, see, the answer is no, not everybody. But Paul's not talking about the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. If you read the context there, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He said, do all prophesy? Do all speak with tongues? And the answer is different because God has a diversity of gifts given to many different people. Aren't you thankful tonight that God's toolbox is made up of many different tools? Amen. He just don't have a screwdriver in there. He just don't have all hammers in there. I thank God that he has a Sister Angie in there. I'm glad that he has a Sister Nina in there. I'm glad that there's a Brother Colton in there. I'm glad that there's an Abigail in there. I'm glad that God's toolbox has a Brother Neil in it. We're all different, and God uses people differently. But oh, friend, the gifts of the Spirit are given, and they're regulated and given to indifference. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, amen, you're going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Now, two different operations here. The initial evidence of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, was for all believers. It was the evidence of receiving the Spirit. It was an individualized personal experience. And the next thing, it does not require interpretation. All right? But in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of tongues that is given totally is given as God chooses. It's a spiritual gift used in the church. It is a public ministry operation to the body. And it requires interpretation in the assembly, where it begins to have the different components of God's church. But I want to just say this, amen. I'm thankful that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God just don't say, no, you can't have this and somebody else can have. No, it's for whosoever, the scripture says. It's for you and to your children and to all that are off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Everyone receives the Spirit with the signs of tongues, but not everybody operates the public gifts of tongues. Now, let me ask, why would God choose the tongue? Well, this one right here, I'm telling you, the Bible says in the book of James that you could tame a wild animal, You could tame the wild animal, the beast of the field. And how ironic that a huge ship is turned by just a little bitty rudder. Underneath that ship is a little bitty board that moves from left to right and will cause that big old ship to make a turn. But the Bible says, this little thing right here is a big devil. Somebody said the little red devil behind the white pearly gates. Your tongue is a evil ruling thing inside of us. And the Bible says no man can tame it. Aren't you thankful, friend, that God, the most difficult member of the body to surrender, is the very one that God chooses to control? Even Romans 6:13 says, yield yourselves unto God. Even the last thing man learns to control is the first thing that God takes care of and takes control of. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost, aren't you? And this is a thought. The question should not simply be, do I have to speak in tongues? The deeper question is, have I received everything Jesus promised me? The Holy Ghost was not given as a burden, but as a promise. 239, for the promise is unto you. And tongues is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Tongues is simply the biblical evidence that he is promising his spirit and he's filling the temple. There's some people pray for tongues. We don't pray just to speak in tongues. Amen. We pray that God would fill our cup overflowing. And when God does it, something triggers inside. And you will speak with another tongue as the Spirit gives the ability. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then in 1 Corinthians, Paul's still talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And this is what he says. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth. But if there's going to be prophecies, they shall stop, fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And the apostle lets us know here that there's going to be a time when people will no longer speak in tongues. And when prophecies will fail and knowledge shall cease. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Here we see that all these things are going to end when that which is perfect is coming. I want to tell you, the only perfect one is Jesus. And this is not in reference to the completion of the New Testament, as some claim, because verse 12 says, we shall see him face to face. That's the evidence here. Then 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Paul closes his discussion of the spiritual gifts with a commandment that we are not to forbid the practice of speaking with tongues. I had a lady in the hospital one day. I was praying for another lady. She said, we don't need all that tongue talking in here. And before I knew it, I turned and I said, the Bible says, forbid not to speak in tongues. And she said, it don't say that. I said, it does say that. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Even many people, even old friend, they think that's not for today. It's in gone in the past. But friend, I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost still, amen, has a pattern. And that pattern still is in operation today. Amen. Oh, friend, if God has more for you than you've already received, you know, more than what you've received, why not want what God has? If you've never enjoyed this glorious experience, you could open your heart and receive today. The Holy Ghost is for you. Even the power of the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. Amen. So today, amen, God always gives visible signs from the rainbow to water baptism. That's an outward sign of an inward happening. Amen. The rainbow was an outward sign of God's covenant. Circumcision was an outward sign of the Abraham's covenant. Water baptism is an outward sign of a Jesus covenant. And the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Ghost, You will speak in tongues as an outward evidence of the Spirit's arrival in your life. Amen. Hear me. The Holy Ghost is not just tongues, but tongues as the evidence that God is moving in. Oh, isn't it beautiful, Brother Zach, Brother Corbett, and those in the house, Sister Benton. Amen. When you watch a person in that jail that's never heard of the Holy Ghost, amen, before we can ever lay a hand on them, they're already speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Are you thankful that, friend, in the foreign countries, amen, while the word of God is going forth, the Holy Ghost falls and people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost the same way, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Hey friend, this promise is still alive. The pattern is still real. It's concrete in the Word of God. These signs shall follow them that they believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Isaiah 28. With stammering lips and another tongue will you speak. He prophesied about it in the book of Isaiah. And how beautiful it is when the glory of the Lord begins to fall in somebody's life. Stand with me tonight. I know that this is elementary, but I want to tell you, elementary is still deep. In order for you to read, Brother Brent, you got to know your ABCs. And for us to go forward in God, we better stick with the ABCs. ABCs in 1, 2, 3 still matters. Hallelujah. I don't care how deep you get. It's still the elementary principles of the bedrock of the Word of God. Amen. Church, there are people that are letting the elementary part of the Word of God go down the tube. There are Pentecostals that are telling people today, you don't have to have it any longer. Preachers that once preached it, I talked about it a while ago, that are saying all the thing you got to do is come down here and just repeat this. I want to tell somebody the Holy Ghost is still for you and God is still in the power pouring business. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's still joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to clap their hands. You ought to worship God. You ought to thank God for the power of His promise. Hallelujah. Go ahead and entertain the Holy Ghost. He's here. Come on, entertain the Spirit of God in this place. He still confirms His word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bless the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead and worship the Lord. Come on, it's time to roll the red carpet out. Come on, one mind and one accord. God does mighty works. Amen. He still pours out His Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! My. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, it don't take long for God to let a rushing mighty wind fall in this place, blow in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. It's for the people that are hungry and thirsty, those that want what God has for them. Come on, let God fill you again. Come on, let God do it all over again in your life tonight. Let God baptize you again with the power of His promise. Woo, my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, would you let the Holy Ghost tonight, amen, let God fill your cup. There's somebody needs to just get refilled. Come on, God still gives refills tonight. Come on, refills are still free tonight in the house of God. Amen, you need a refill, come get it tonight. Amen, you need God to do it tonight, let Him be God tonight. Right where you are, would you lift your heart? Would you give God the opportunity tonight to fill your cup? Let it overflow. He's come to refill you, to reassure you, and to let you know that He's still the King and the God of the Word. He still confirms His book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 My Jesus. Hallelujah. You want the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. If there's somebody want the Holy Ghost in this place, you've never spoke with other tongues. Amen. You want the Holy Ghost? Amen. I want you to get boldness in your heart, your soul. You want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost? I want you to come step right up here tonight. If you're that person that says, Pastor, Church family, I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you want it bad, amen, you want it desperate tonight, God wants you desperately. God wants you badly. Amen. He'll fill you. Amen. If God's done it before, he'll do it again. Amen. Lift your hands, somebody. Lift your heart to God. Hallelujah. Would you pray with that person near you right now? Amen. Bind together. They may be going through something and need a great refilling tonight. Amen. The Lord is here to do just that, to satisfy the soul. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord God. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, the Bible speaks of tongues edifying. That personal prayer before God. Even with stammering and lips in another tongue, will God speak? Amen. Will you let the Holy Ghost minister through you? Let the Holy Ghost have you tonight. Let the glory of God tonight flow through your being. Hallelujah. Come on, God's here tonight to do it. He's here to fulfill his word and his promise.